Well, very shortly at 11 a.m, we're about to hear updated numbers on the Avalon cluster and find out whether it has spread further throughout Sydney and New South Wales. Right now, though, we are joined on the line by the New South Wales opposition leader, Jodie McKay, to discuss the cluster and the Berejiklian government's response. Good morning, Jodie, and welcome to The Daily.
Thank you, Tina. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to yourself as well. You have advocated for a mask mandate on public transport and certain indoor scenarios throughout COVID. Today, the New South Wales Bus Drivers Union has called for the same. This morning, you said the government is mincing their words on masks. Why is a mandate more necessary than a strong advisory? What is preventing the government from mandating masks?
Well, I'm not sure what is preventing them from mandating it. There has been some thought that this is because people will be fined, but it's our belief that it would be much easier just to hand out a mask rather than fine people. But nevertheless, we'd support whichever way the government went. You know, we're talking about high-risk settings. So we're talking about using a mask on public transport, in places of worship, and also in supermarkets and shopping centres. So yesterday we heard the Premier say that those indoor venues where there are large gatherings, that's where the greatest risk is. We accept that, and we've been pushing since June for government to go down this path. They're able to do that under the Health Act. It's a mandatory health order, and it would be so easier to do. Now, why it's necessary, I believe twofold. One, the evidence says that this is the right thing to do. But the fact is that when you, I mean, I've been wearing a mask and I feel very self-conscious about it. So people will choose not to wear a mask because, you know, it's not something they're comfortable with. If everyone else is wearing a mask in these high-risk settings, then I think it would encourage more people to do that.
Last week, we saw $13,000 in fines for an international flight crew breaching quarantine. What needs to be the policies around flight crews and exemptions from quarantine more broadly?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously there is a lack of transparency around when and why people have been granted exemptions. So we know there are medical grounds and we accept that. But I think most people would not have thought that flight crews were being able to choose the hotel that they stayed in, and there was no one monitoring whether they were doing the right thing or not. So the government is making changes there. I think there are real concerns, however, about how this particular community transmission occurred. So we know that, and hopefully, you know, the Premier will enlighten us on this, but we know that in early December it was picked up in hotel quarantine. And then, of course, there are questions about how it has managed to be on the northern beaches. There has been some talk that it could be around airline crew, but the government certainly hasn't been clear on that. So I think people would generally be surprised that airline crews aren't in quarantine, or at least under guard, to make sure that they're not leaving their hotels, and those hotels should be chosen by government.
It does seem quite extraordinary that that's not the case. We've seen states across Australia react quickly in closing their borders after the New South Wales government asked for a proportional response. I think Victoria, this morning it was reported that Victoria has deployed 700 police at the New South Wales border. What are your thoughts on the other states' responses in the past day or so?
Yeah, look, I think each state has to do what each state believes it's best. We advocated early on for the closure of the Victorian border into New South Wales when they had their outbreak. And it was a couple of days after that that Ms. Berejiklian moved down that path. So I think you've just got to accept the decision made by each of those individual premiers. So I would think that Victoria has been, you know, less cautious than other states. Obviously, we've seen a pretty hard crackdown in Queensland, but if both those premiers and other, you know, others are doing this, then I think that's entirely reasonable, and I would support whatever efforts they made that are in the best interest of their state. So you know, the fear is that this moves obviously beyond the northern beaches, and I think we'll know more over coming days. So the northern beaches itself has been locked down, but it may be that we face that in Greater Sydney. It just depends on where this community transmission occurs, and certainly the extent of it.
You did just mention before talking about trying to work out where this this might have actually really started, or how this, you know, got into Sydney, this particular strain. There has been some suggestion that Sydney's, that the COVID-19 outbreak might, it might be linked to an exemption to hotel quarantine given not just to air flight staff, but to an actual traveller returning from overseas.
Yeah, there has been that speculation as well. And I think, you know, yesterday Kerry Chan was asked this question, and I believe that if she knew, she would certainly provide that information. But I think that we do need more clarity on this. I mean, they know that this strain was in hotel quarantine on, I think it was December 1st. They're just not sure how it got out of there to the northern beaches. So there needs to be more transparency around this. We know that celebrities have been given exemption from quarantine. As I said, you know, medical advice, that makes sense if people need to get an exemption. I understand that. But I think there's a lack of consistency and certainly transparency into why this is being granted and who's being who has received that exemption from isolation or quarantine.
What message do you have for Northern Beaches residents in lockdown right now, likely looking to lose their Christmas?
Yeah. Look, I've been talking to a number of people today who have friends there or relatives there, and it's really tough. You've got people who were, after a very difficult year, planning on, you know, getting out of Sydney, spending time with friends and relatives, and obviously they can't do it. You've got businesses that are taking bookings who've had a difficult time and we're looking to recoup that over the Christmas New Year break. But it's also beyond that. You know, there are people who are planning larger gatherings and they can't do that. There are churches now who, obviously, the holiest time of the year, but are now facing a cap of 300 on those who attend. This is going to have a huge impact right across New South Wales. And I think, you know, at a time of year where, after a very difficult time, people were hoping for it to be a bit easier, it's not going to be easier. So I think we all just need to, you know, be understanding and certainly for those on the Northern Beaches currently, you know, my thoughts are with them. It's really, really hard. But we may, come Wednesday, see even more restrictions imposed on Greater Sydney.
I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen to it this morning. Dr. Norman Swan has a podcast, his CoronaCast podcast, and this morning he was quite scathing. He said that New South Wales' luck has run out. What do you think of that? Do you think we've been playing it a little bit too casual and that we've become quite complacent in the state of New South Wales? We seemed quite... I mean, I sometimes sensed a sort of, in looking at what was happening in Victoria, there was somewhat a bit of an arrogance to some walking around thinking that we were doing it so much better. But do you think we've actually become quite complacent?
Well, I think that if it is found that this is escape from quarantine, that this is possibly not just complacency, but it is a dereliction of policy and decision making by government, if that is the case. But I have detected, yes, a level of complacency, and that's why we're pushing for masks on public transport. I mean, my stepdaughter caught the train the other day. She was wearing a mask, but she sent me a photo saying I feel really uncomfortable on the train because no one is wearing a mask and people aren't social distancing. You know, you've got the spots on the train and no one is actually following what they should be doing. The government lifted the order that encouraged people to work from home just a couple of weeks ago, so people are back out using public transport. So I think that, yes, there is a level of complacency there, but while community transmission was low, you've got to get the balance right with getting people back to work. And so I had generally offered a bipartisan approach to many of these issues. I stand by that, but we do differ very, very much from the government on the wearing of masks. It is something I feel strongly about. And keeping in mind, we're approaching the holiest time of the year for Christians. So people who may not even, you know, regularly go to church will be going to church because that's what you do. You go to church with your family and you recognise it as a holy and celebratory time for Christians. Now, there'll be people not wearing masks in those churches. So we advocated for a lessening of the restrictions for churches. We stand by that and other places of worship. But I do think that in line with what we're pushing for high-risk settings, that there should be mask wearing mandatory in places of worship. I mean, there'll always be people who can't wear a mask. There'll always be people for a medical reason or whatever other reason cannot, and I get that. But I do think this is something the government should be doing. There was criticism, as you'll remember, that Victoria moved too slowly. I think I haven't listened to Norman Swan's podcast, but I did hear people talking about that believing that he was spot on with a lot of the comments he was making. But I think that, you know, that over the next couple of days, we'll find out whether it has been contained to the northern beaches. I just think this is a no-brainer when you've got a spread on transport routes, which we have had, and you've got transport routes that people who have COVID have travelled on. It just makes sense to make sure that people are wearing masks and doing the right things in high-risk settings.
And look, just before you go, I sort of can't let you go without asking about the health insurance premiums that are set to rise next year. The federal government has authorised a rise in private health insurance premiums that will cost families an extra $126 a year on average. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, obviously this is a federal issue, but, you know, people are doing it so tough. You know, there's speculation today that, you know, we'll see electricity bills rise as well. I think we've got to be doing everything we can to be conscious.
It's all kind of adding up, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's the tolls as well. You know, I've had so many people who've said to me, the tolls, you know, they're adding $2,000 or $3,000. You know, to the household budget. So it is adding up. And I think that there does have to be some consideration of that and whether some of these decisions need to be delayed so that people can get back up on top of the family budget and they're not slugged time after time with increasing costs.
And just lastly, if we see numbers to continue to rise like they are, what do you want to see from the government this week? Would you advocate for a lockdown of Greater Sydney, not just the northern beaches if necessary?
Yeah, look, I said this morning. I mean, obviously, I'm supportive of what the government is doing currently. Our view, this is on masks, so we're asking for mandatory masks. If the numbers, I think, increase outside of the northern beaches, then yes, I think the government should look at that and I would back them. But we've got, you know, they're only releasing the numbers at 11 o'clock every day and that's to 8 p.m. the night before. So I think, you know, each day we will make a decision on what we think should be occurring. But I have tried very hard to be bipartisan where the Premier's made a good decision. I've come out and said that. But, you know, we have the best contact tracing team in the world, no doubt. But we can't just depend on that contact tracing team. We actually have to take individual responsibility. Government has to have the health orders in place. And for me, that is about mask wearing right now to prevent the spread. So in that regard, I am totally with Norman Swan. I think, you know, he's been pretty spot on with most of the decisions that he's advocated for. And I think he's got it right on this one as well.
Jodie McKay, I appreciate your time this morning. I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you and to all your listeners as well. It's going to be tough, but I think, you know, we've been through a tough year and I don't think anyone expected we would be back here, but we are.
I know. Well, Gladys Berejiklian, our New South Wales Premier, is obviously addressing the public or about to as we speak. So I'm guessing you'll want to be sitting in on that as well. So I
guess
to let you go.
I listen every day. Thanks very much, Tina.
Thank you, Jodie.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was New South Wales Labor leader Jodie McKay on the Avalon cluster that's throwing a wrench into many Sydneysiders' Christmas plans and how she thinks the Berejiklian government is doing at handling the latest outbreak. We'll have the latest numbers for you as soon as possible after the Premier's press conference at 11 a.m.